Or it's over with.
You never know. But that's what happens. A lot of times when you come to church, your mind's on so many things, you're just kind of spaced out, you know. And if he gets your attention, great. If he don't, you just daydream it through and hope he hurry up and gets finished. But tonight I want you to give me your attention. Everybody looking at me. Some of you still looking at me. Up here I am. I'm the guy here with this pen in my hand. That's what you need to do. Look here. Give me your attention. All you young people, look up here. Little boys, little girls. I see some of you still ain't. There you go. There you go. They're hanging out of the pews back there looking. That's the way to do. Amen. Way back yonder. I see Brooke. She's listening. And Jason and Joey. All right. Krissa, you listening? Yep, she's listening. You listening at Dada? You need it. All right. Daniel Tucker, you listening? You sure? Becca? Curtis? He's listening. Amen. I want you to look at that well-behaved young people. Okay, here we go. Now, what's a friend? A friend who is one who multiplies your joys and divides your griefs with you. A friend is one who comes in when the world has gone up. A friend is the shortest way to wherever you're going. Somebody said one time, said, what's the shortest way to London? And a fellow come up and said, good company. Have you ever noticed how fast time goes by when you're with a friend going somewhere? No man is useless while he is a friend. Somebody said, I went out to find a friend, but could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. Now, I want to teach you tonight how to have and be a friend. First thing I want to say is the advantage of the friend relationship. Now, I want to show you some advantage of a friend relationship. The advantages. The first one is, it is one of the few relationships that we're allowed to choose. Now what I'm saying is this. You do not choose your mother, your father, your sisters. You have no choice in the matter. You have to accept them. You have to be good to your brothers and sisters and family and friends. But did you know, if I'm your friend, it's because I chose to be your friend. And if you're my friend, you chose. It's one of the few relationships that you are able to choose. God chooses our family for us, but He lets us choose our friends. And that's a blessing. God has given us that privilege. We can choose them. You can choose who you want to be your friend. And brother, there's nothing like on this earth having a friend that you know you can turn to. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't believe the people in this church that have told me that the people in this church who are friends, they're closer to and depend more upon than they do members of their own family. You know, even brothers and sisters, and I see a bunch of you nodding your head because there's been several people in this room told me that right out of your own mouth, that you feel closer to your brothers and sisters in Christ than you do your own brothers, you know, in the flesh. Okay? It's one of the few relationships that you can choose. Now, you be thinking, and I'm going to ask you some questions in a minute. We've given an honor to each other. I've given you an honor you may not think it is. You've given me an honor by telling me I'm your friend. We give each other honors when you say, I will be your friend. All right? Let me tell you another thing about the advantages of the friend relationship. Not only is it you get to choose them, is that a friend relationship can be an unselfish relationship. In most relationships, there's a selfishness that in the back of your mind, you expect something in return. When a guy's out here, a lot of times when he even dates a girl, she thinks, well, boy, he really likes me. But maybe he don't really like her. Maybe he's just wanting her because of what she can do for him. Maybe she's just wanting him because of what he can do for her. She'd say, well, he's got a pretty car, or he's got a lot of money. You ever seen these bumper stickers that says, if you're rich, I'm single? You know, they're talking out of their heart, but that's a low-down way to be. At least they're honest, but it's low down. And did you know that's the way the world operates? That's the way the world operates. They'll say, if you can help me out, I got time for you. Right? If you can't do nothing for me, I ain't got time to fool with you. Now that's the world philosophy. But a Christian philosophy, a friend relationship is this. I choose to be your friend. I choose to give, to love, to care and ask nothing in return. I don't come up here and, you know, like when these folks go out on visit on the bus route and everything, they don't run down there and say, they don't run up and say, all right, Brother Dan, you better get up and brag on me. They don't get out and say, all right, you parents better really appreciate what I'm doing for your kids. They choose to give their time and their energy because they want to be a friend and be a good thing and ask for nothing in return. All right? That's one of the advantages, being a friend. You get to choose them, and it's unselfish. A lot of husband-wife relationships are selfish. A lot of employee-employer relationships are selfish. A lot of business relationships are selfish. But you can be a friend and say, I want to be good to you whether you're good to me or not. I want to make you happy whether you try to make me happy or not. I want to love you whether you love me or not. Now, if every one of you... Now, who's your best friend in the world besides the Lord? In the flesh here, who is supposed to be your best friend in the world? Can anybody tell me? Right. That's exactly right. Your husband or your wife. You men, your best friend in the world is supposed to be your wife. Now, you think she's your worst enemy. You do. But that ain't right. You know why you think that? Because you live with her all the time. And you know what y'all start doing? You start taking each other for granted. And you start getting selfish. And you start getting grouchy. But if it comes to shove, brother, and it really gets down the nitty-gritty where the rubber meets the road, I'll guarantee you, husband and wife, that's a strong friendship. You'll stand up for each other when the chips are down. And I tell you, it's a blessing to have a Christian wife and a Christian husband that you know be your best friend. And that's, you ladies, you know who your best friend is besides the Lord Jesus? Your husband. Now, if you don't have a husband or a wife, it's your brothers and sisters in Christ, your preacher, your Sunday school teacher. Somebody like that can be your best friend. All right? It's an unselfish relationship. Not only that, it can be a relationship for life. A friend relationship is for life. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, relationship with your child, it grows up and passes on. You ain't got no kid no more. Mom and dad die. But because you and your friends are usually in the same age bracket, sometimes you'll have a friend that'll go with you all through life. Even our kids are grown off and married, and mom and dad's dead, you still got that friend. A friend can be for life. Not only that, it's a relationship that needs no acceptance from another. You understand that? I don't come up to you and say, will you accept me as your friend? You don't have a choice. I can be your friend whether you let me or not. When I married my wife, I said, will you marry me? She had the final word. She'd say yes or no. If she said no, what I want, it wouldn't be no wedding. But it's not that way with a friend. You don't have to be accepted from another person. I can be your friend whether you accept me or not. And that's a blessing. It needs no acceptance. So what you ought to do to that old grouch you work with, it's always a fussing and always a carrying on, you choose to be their friend. You say, that old snobby woman that works down there at the plant, nobody can stand her. I can't stand to be around her. She's the biggest grouch. If she's a Christian, Charles Manson's a preacher. I just can't stand her. Listen, you go and be that woman's friend, and you'd be surprised how you can soften her up. You'd be surprised. You would be surprised. All right? Now, next thing about the friend relationship is you never have to give up one friend for another. You can have as many as you want to. On your husbands and wives, it ain't like that. You may have one. But with a friend, you can have as many as you want, and there's no limit. It's never lost to another. You can multiply it. Next thing a friend relationship is, it can be completely spiritual. It's not a physical relationship. It is a spiritual relationship. Did you know if we got in the flesh, we get to where we couldn't stand each other? If we listen to the flesh and let the flesh have its way, because we still have the flesh. I'd say I don't know this for sure because there's a lot of you I didn't know before you got saved, but there's enough in here that I knew before you got saved. Couldn't stay in this building 2 hours without a fight breaking out if we was all back like we used to be years ago. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, what if none of us was saved and you got all of us out of our old past life and put us in this room right here 3 times a week, 2 hours a time? Man, somebody'd be dead for long. It would be robbing, killing, stealing, blood running out. And did you know, I know some churches that really do stuff like that. And that, you know what that means? Somebody is getting in the flesh and not realize that our whole purpose we're meeting here is a spiritual purpose. We're met here on a spiritual basis, on a spiritual common denominator. And that common denominator is we're saved by the grace of God. We throw our own feelings out the door. Amen? I mean, you may say, well, I don't like what you preached last Sunday night, Danny. I'm going to come up and sock you in the jaw. See, we can't act like that. We're Christians. We take it on a spiritual level, and we're going to have that's the way a friend really is. It's not a physical relationship. And then it is a relationship that can be chosen anytime. Parenthood ain't like that. When you have a baby, you automatically choose. You don't choose to be in that relationship. You're in it. And they're usually a certain age which people get married. But you don't have to be that way on friends. You can choose a friend when you're 8. You can choose a friend when you're 12. You can choose a friend when you're 20. You can choose a friend when you're past getting married age or having children age. You can choose a friend at any age or time in your life. None of you are too old. None of you are too young to have and be a friend to someone. Somebody said, happy is the man who has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. Happiest is the man who has a friend and is a friend. In other words, a happy man's a man who has a friend. A man's a little happier than him is a man who has a friend and is a friend. And the happiest man is a man who has a friend and is a friend. I heard about this lady. She committed suicide and jumped off a bridge, you know, and drowned herself in the river. And they was all shaking their head and saying how terrible it was. And somebody come up and said, why'd she do that? And somebody said, well, she just didn't have any friends. She couldn't find any friends. And a little boy stood there and said, well, she ain't going to find no friends in the river. And that's the way. Did you know a lot of people sit around and sulk and feel sorry for themselves and pout and have a pity party because they don't have any friends? You ain't going to find no friends at home pouting. You ain't going to find none in the river. You ain't going to find none out in the woods. You ain't going to find none at home crying, feeling sorry for yourself. Yeah, what does the Bible say? You know what it says. Let's turn to it. Proverbs chapter 18. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Now, I want somebody in here to be thinking us up a real good illustration of somebody who at a time of need was a friend to you, and we're going to let you stand up and tell about it in just a minute. Somebody, don't worry about embarrassing somebody. Somebody in here, these past 9 years, this old building has been a friend to you. Want to stand up and tell it. We're going to give you a chance to do that in just a minute. Proverbs chapter 18. Here's how to have friends. Verse 24. Proverbs 18:24. If you say, I don't have any friends, here's what's wrong with you. You are a snob. Look at Proverbs 18. That's my paraphrase. Proverbs 18:24. A snob haveth no friends. Now, here's what it really said. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Have you ever seen somebody that's just got all kinds of friends? You know why? They're friendly. It's hard to be friendly to a person who won't let you be. Okay? How to be a friend. One who is held precious and dear. And most people who are not saved don't know anything about what I'm telling you tonight. Here's how to be a friend. I'll give you 2 or 3 things. Number one, be concerned in being a friend. Now, it's almost impossible today. Here's how. So many people today are only concerned about themselves. Now, we all have this problem. We have this ego problem, and the flesh likes to be number one. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own self. That's a sign of the time, just like homosexuality and swapping wives and partying and everything is a sign of the end. The sign of the end is people caring about themselves at everybody else's expense. You don't find many people nowadays. You've heard me preach this before, that years ago when a man's house burned down, you know, everybody in the community just pitch in together and go help that man build him a new house, build him a barn, whatever. Nowadays, man, it's just dog eat dog, boy. I mean, as long as I got food in my refrigerator and, to blazes with everybody else. That's the attitude that a lot of people have. They have the attitude of, who cares about you as long as I'm happy, as long as I've got money and gas in my car. Now, you got to be concerned to be a friend. You've got to be concerned. And listen, folks, you know what McDowell County needs among a thousand other things? McDowell County needs to see one church at least, and I'm not saying, that there may be a bunch of them. I hope there are, but they need a church where the people really care about each other, where the Pharisees will stand back, and they may criticize and tell lies and everything else, but they'll look back and say, behold, how they love one another. Brother, if this church will love one another and be a true friend to each other. Friends don't stab each other in the back.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Friends don't like you to your face and then run out somewhere and cut you down behind your back. That's not a friend. Friends don't butter you up, when they can get something off of you and then go out and then just cut you down when you're not around. Friends, you got to be concerned to be a friend. Now, I didn't say y'all have to agree. We don't agree on everything. We never have. We never will. So I said, if you find two people that agree on everything, one of them's unnecessary. That's true, One of them's brainwashed the other one somewhere. He just ain't thinking. He just, yeah, whatever you say. God gave us mind. We're never going to agree. Some people are closer to God than others. Some people have come from a different culture, background than others. And because of that, some people look at Scripture different. We ain't never going to agree on everything. But what we do is agree on what the Word of God says and the great teachings of the Word of God, and really be a friend one to another. Okay? I didn't even know I was going to teach on this till this evening. Matter of fact, just a little while before church, I had no idea. And just right before church, this thing came on my heart. And I said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. All right, be concerned in being a friend, not having a friend. In other words, quit worrying about not having friends and start worrying about you not being a friend. Look around and say, now, who can I be friendly to? Well, there's old so-and-so. He's been sick lately. Brother so-and-so, how you been getting along? I'm sorry you've been sick. And I tell you, I'm thinking about you, and is there anything I can do? Any way I can help? Now, that person's going to get in his car and drive home and say, boy, I got a blessing tonight just offering help old so-and-so. But the person that stands over here and says, nobody won't talk to me. Nobody loves me. I'm going out and eat worms. Nobody cares anything about it. And just go home, feel sorry for theirself. They're going to be a miserable Christian. But the Christian who says, forget about me. Lord bless me. Let's look around here and see who else I can do something for. And starts doing like, there's the person God will bless. Now, I try to practice this. I don't as much as I should. But once in a while, when you get $10, $20, look around and just go lay it on somebody. Amen? Really, I'm telling you the truth. You wouldn't believe what a blessing get out of that. Just lay it on. You say, well, I need it. You're always going to need it.
Amen.
You're always going to need it. Here's the way you do. Act like you say, well, I just got to have every penny. I can't spare enough. Listen, act like you had a blowout. Say, I had a blowout and I had to go buy a new tire. But you really didn't have a blowout and have to buy a new tire. Just act like you did. You could, and you'd have to go buy a $30 new tire. You can afford that. So go ahead and do. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We say we can't afford it, but when an emergency comes up, you got to afford it. So, be concerned in being a friend. People think I need to get all I can and be happy. The world's philosophy is, how much can I get off everybody? The Christian's philosophy is, how much can we do for each other? Being loved is life's second greatest blessing. Being loved is the second greatest blessing in life. What's the first blessing? Loving. Amen. All right. So the second thing you do is start doing sacrificial things for each other. Do something about it. Do something sacrificial for others. And I just preached on this a couple weeks ago. I don't know why I'm getting on it again. Maybe we need it. There's a lot of people doing nice stuff for us. I know that Brother Bill Long told me the other day that Eastside Baptist Church was buying us a big flower arrangement for the new church. And then somebody else is going to get one today. And then a lot of people, you know, have done stuff like that. And, you know, it's a blessing to know you do have friends. And when they do sacrificial things for you, that's really a blessing. He said he's going to have to give away a Cadillac Sunday morning. Keep all his church members from coming up here. But we go on with each other like that all the time, you know. He said some of his church members, every one of them had been invited up here this Sunday. Okay, the next thing is, the need of being a friend should be considered your need. The need of a friend should be considered our need. In other words, Brother Ricky Manning's here, told me here not long ago, said he, you know, he's in need. Now, instead of just saying, ha, tough luck, son, that's your problem. I tried to get burdened over that. I didn't do nothing for him, but I tried to be burdened for him and feel like that was my need too. And, he looks pretty healthy here tonight. But did you know what a real Christian is? Somebody comes in and said, I've got problems. My son's out on drugs. My husband's drinking, or my husband left them. And a lot of people just say, well, tough luck. And by their attitude, that's your problem. You work it out. But a real Christian friend will get under the burden of that thing just like it was them. And when your heart's broke, my heart's broke. When you cry, I cry. When you shout, I shout. Amen? You say, well, where are you getting that? From the Bible. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that do weep. That's in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, matter of fact, verse 15. Feel as if you are a member of the family. Feel like you're a member of the family. Now, that's hard to do because the Bible said in the last days, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And it's, you hear so much going on nowadays, you just kind of get numb to it. Well, there's another kid overdosed on drug, or somebody else got killed on a wreck. And, you know, you just think, ah, who cares? You know, you just hear it so much, and you got so many burdens and problems yourself, you kind of get to where it don't bother you no more. But we ought to pray and ask the Lord to give us a soft heart that we can feel for other people. That we feel what they're feeling. All right, let's have some quick testimonies, right quick. Somebody stand up. Don't care about embarrassing somebody. Give us an example of where somebody was a real friend to you. Who'll be first? Now, we need some illustrations right now to prove what I've been saying. Go ahead, sister. Amen, sister. Amen. 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 Amen.